This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight we have a very special show, even though my voice is shot. Tonight is the upholding of one of our sacred annual holiday traditions. Tonight, is Happy Spanksgiving for the year 2010. And it'll be hard to top the last one, but we will give it our best. The Spankies and the Spankers are here. Yes, we have live tonight one of our rehabilitated priests who has been rehabilitated by this reverend from some of our many Rehab for Pedophile Priests shows, and at least one show that was themed abstinence makes the church grow fondlers. But he is rehabilitated and cured and ready to participate in the shenanigans tonight. Father Lollipop is in the house. And of course, one of our favorite dominatrixes, if that is in fact how you pluralize dominatrix, we have Mother Teresa, and she's going to spank Michelle Schlockman and John Boner, and maybe one more, if we have, maybe two more, actually, if they show up like they said they will. And we're also going to have some additional fun with airport pat-down time. And if this other guest shows up, you will have a first right here on The Reverend Is In. We invited Pastor Cedric Miller's penis, and we want him to do a lot of talking about the antics of Pastor Cedric Miller. So let's get started with the first set of tunes. And I thought, why not start off with something very beautiful for the Spanksgiving show? And I thought, what could be better than beginning with a song by the Jenna Torturers? This is the title song from Flesh Is the Law.
I'm on the dark side, sinning and grinning. Then you let me in, fill you up with passion and rage. I stroke you slow, deep and under, try to make you wonder just why you feel so violently strange. And don't you feel like a god when you cross over my skin? And don't you feel like a whore? Let the pussy worship.
Let the pussy worship begin. 'Cause the same. mascar. Cuando me topé con esa chica irreal, sus ojos contenían un raro esplendor. Sentí que me decían, bésame mi amor. ¿Qué besos ha quedado?
Once upon a time, when perhaps the sun was fading behind the mountains, the shadow of a strong man with a gun in his hand rise to protect the poor people of the haciendas. They called him El Justiciero.
Hey, El Justiciero, buenos días.
¿Qué tienes para decir?
Ey, justiciero, yo soy pobre.
¿Qué tienes para dar?
Traigo chocolate caliente, tequila.
Paga lo que debes, el justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar? Justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar?
We are engaged in the defining ideological struggle of the 21st century. The terrorists oppose every principle of humanity and decency that we hold dear. Yet in this war on terror, there is one thing we and our enemies agree on.
Hey, el justiciero, buenos días. ¿Qué tienes para decir? El justiciero, yo soy pobre. ¿Qué tienes para dar?
Bésame mucho, Juanita, banana.
Cuando calienta el sol, el justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar? El justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar? El justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar? El justiciero, cha, cha, cha. ¿Qué otra cosa puedo dar? El justiciero, cha, cha, cha.
El justiciero.
This is Halliburton Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn, Pastor Whoremaster, John the Craptist, Father Lollipop, and Mother Teza, and the Spankies, and it's such a wonderful holiday tradition celebrating Spanksgiving on this show. And now we're going to bring up a very special track that is brand new from our live musical guest from earlier this year and future returning musical guest Jana Perry and her band. This is her brand new track entitled Gallery Whore.
Gallery Whore. I love talking about the Warren Commission. I love talking about Kennedy assassination. I really love it, man. I was just down in Dallas, Texas. And you can actually go to the school book depository on the sixth floor. It's a museum called the Assassination Museum. And they have the window set up to look exactly like it did on that day. And it's really accurate, because Oswald's not in it. Incredible, painstaking detail. I don't know who did the research, but I applaud them. But it's true, it's called the Sniper's Nest. And the, you know, the boxes are set up, it's glassed in. You can't actually get to the window. And the reason they did that, of course, is they didn't want thousands of tourists every year, you know, coming through to the window going, no way. Yeah, that would have started this truth inertia happening. Who knows when it stopped. But there's no way. I mean, you can get to the window next to it, and you look down, and you go, I can't even see the fucking road from here, man. There's a tree right here. There's no way, unless Oswald was hanging by his toes, upside down from the window ledge. Surely someone would have seen that. Either that or some pigeons grabbed onto him and flew him over the motorcade. You know, there was rumors of anti-Castro pigeons seen drinking in bars the week before the assassination. Someone overheard them saying, coup, coup, coup. I'm the only one in the world, by the way, with an assassination pun. I rarely toot my own horn, but... What do you think? Leather jacket, hot lights? Good call? degrees. Quick impression? Keith Richards. But I love talking about Kennedy assassination. People say to me, it's so weird, you wouldn't believe the attitude in America. Bill, quit talking about Kennedy, man. Let it go. Okay, it was a long time ago. Would you just forget it? I'm like, all right, then don't bring up Jesus to me. As long as we're talking shelf life here. Bill, you know, Jesus died for... Yeah, it was a long time ago. Let it go. Forget about it. How about this? Let's get Pilate to release the fucking files. Quit washing your hands and release the piles, Pilate. Piles, Pilate. Cough. Don't worry. Here they go. Piles, Pilate. I want you to know, this is the longest I've ever gone without a cigarette in my fucking life. And, no. Actually, I quit smoking, so, Hey. This ain't Dylan Goes Electric. Chill out, all right? Dude.
Do you realize that you have the most just an illusion caused by the world spinning round. Do you realize that you have the most beautiful face?
Thank you. existing in a fake world, a world which was created by man. The Creator gave us the earth. He put us here in the universe. He gave us our minds. He gave us all these tools to exist and survive within
the war on drugs is a war on people, and people's rights are being violated, and you're incarcerating and caging human beings, oftentimes who are simply victims of the sickness of addiction, who have become sucked up into this giant war on drugs, which is in fact a crime against humanity. A crime against humanity. The war on drugs is a war on people.
You heard Corporate Avenger doing Christians Murdered Indians. Before that, Flaming Lips did Do You Realize? Before that, Bill Hicks did Kennedy and the Warren Commission. And that's from the Salvation double CD live at Oxford in 1992. Before Bill Hicks, we heard the brand new track by Jana Perry, entitled Gallery Whore, from the new tribute CD, a tribute to Os Mutantes, entitled El Justiciero Cha-Cha-Cha. And yes, I did start playing the wrong track accidentally. But from the tribute to Os Mutantes, you heard Omar Giammarco doing El Justiciero. The Genitorturers started things off with Flesh is the Law. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is Happy Spanksgiving 2010. And let's cover what the next show is going to be. And it's next Sunday, so there's no break between shows. Next Sunday night, December 5th, the theme will be Free Willie Nelson. And if you haven't heard by now, Willie Nelson has been busted by deranged psychopaths who call themselves the Texas Border Patrol. Interestingly enough, nowhere near the border. But apparently these fuckers had time and an interest in doing their big raid and bust operation. Well, actually, it was the tour bus. And where Willie Nelson allegedly had 6 ounces. We got a tour with this guy. Allegedly had 6 ounces, and according to one source, also mushrooms, but that might be false, because I only saw that in one place out of the sources I consider credible. But we're going to do a show for him next Sunday night, Free Willie Nelson, on December 5th. And 2 weeks after that is yet another sacred annual holiday tradition on the show. On December 19th, the Reverend's annual Holiday Tree and Balls Special 2010. And there's a break. And on January 9th, 2011... will be the New Year's show. And yes, they're usually with a sub-theme, but that'll be decided upon later, depending on what's going on. You know, maybe there'll be some big news or incredibly stupid comment number 15,000 will be made by Sarah Palin to give us more comedy material. So we'll just do that on, based on whatever's going on around New Year's. And that is January 9th, the New Year's show, and a sub-theme, most likely. And, of course, all of these shows are foreplay for the January 23rd show. And actually, it's getting so big, it's taking on a life of its own. We'll work on this show or the next couple and end up saying, yeah, no, this has to go on the 10th anniversary show. So there's probably going to be two or even more of them. But January 23rd is the 10th anniversary show. So if the teabag psycho fucks don't destroy the world or the economy or gut the START treaties or all the insane shit that they're doing, and the world is not smoldering ash or any other fuck ups, we will celebrate 10 years of providing uncensored broadcasting on independent media. 10 years of music that is not from the corporate media's playlists. Humor, politics, deprogramming from political myths and religious conditioning. Head and hemp entertainment, and of course, hotness, which I think is a good balance. And we have a whole history too. It's going to be a great show. And we recalled about as much of our history as we can. And of course, there will be a tribute within it to the late Marlon, the great engineer, who passed away in 2005. And so he was the producer of the show from 2001 to 2005. And of course, to current co-producer and recording engineer and archivist from afar, Pastor Rex Cat. That will be January 23rd and possibly beyond. All of that to come on The Reverend Is In. Write to The Reverend at revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Always check out the always updated reverendbookburn.com, which now has a new address, but if you go to reverendbookburn.com, you'll automatically go there. And links to the YouTube site, the MySpace site, the Facebook site, and the fan page within Facebook. Alright, there's very little news. Let's see, a dedication later to people who saved the Reverend's ass, speaking of spanking, saved the Reverend's ass in an emergency situation, and they're getting a song. If we have time, there was a segment intended for tonight entitled Life Lessons from the MySpace Screw-Ups, but we might not have time for that. Let's see. No deaths. And two birthdays. The first is another important person in the last 10 years of... I don't want to say important, because that implies that some people aren't, if you call anybody important. But another wonderful person for the last 10 years and contributor is Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com, who does all the Dr. Laura Hoare gags and segments. And there's been many. The most recent, in the 2009 version, which we've been playing and will be a part of tonight's show. And it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com. And on Tuesday, it would have been the birthday of the late Abby Hoffman, author of Woodstock Nation, Steal This Book, Revolution for the Hell of It, and numerous other books, and a couple of films. The most recent film about him was entitled Chicago 10 on DVD, which is great, and just incredible person in the 60s who
died in 1989, but he's been a vital part and a kind of a subtle influence on everything from Michael Moore to Bill Maher to Jon Stewart to so many others. And you can see how some degree of influence kind of seeped in from the energy that Abbie Hoffman and numerous others began in the late 1960s. So happy birthday, Abbie Hoffman, with love and honor. Okay, Pastor Cedric Miller's penis is still not here yet, and we want him to tell us some of the Pastor Cedric Miller stories, since like other moral crusaders who preach abstinence and of course a complete loss of women's rights, no birth control, no abortion, no being gay or bisexual, no being heterosexual and sexually active, only do it to make babies so they can grow up and put money in the collection plate, and censorship and the usual agenda of shit and repression against everybody else, and of course caught with his dick out and in people who are not Mrs. Pastor Cedric Miller. So we want, and sometimes more than one at once, so we want Pastor Cedric Miller's penis to be a live guest, and we think it's he or it, however you address the penis, will be here later, and hopefully will fill us in on the details of these very interesting stories about Pastor Cedric Miller. Father Lollipop and Mother Teza are here and are ready to spank some ass, and we are very proud of Father Lollipop because he is one of the graduates of Reverend Bookburn's program for rehabilitating pedophile priests. And on those shows that many long-term Bookburners will remember, and we've done so many of them, they are designed to introduce one of these, as many of these freakish fucks, to adult sexuality and adult entertainment, and lose their sickness, much of which is manufactured by the church's own sickness, mandatory lifelong celibacy, and other unrealistic, nature-defying, human-defying policies of stupidity. And Father Lollipop did graduate, and he is into consenting adult sexuality and even consenting adult kink, which is, of course, totally acceptable. And even for those who don't understand it or think it's too weird, or at least say they think it's too weird, but secretly think it's delicious, or would be if they ever got to explore and broaden. But it's totally cool either way, whether one explores or not, as long as it's with other adult humans who are consenting. And Father Lollipop understands this, and he is a rather enthusiastic participant tonight in Happy Spanksgiving. Mother Teza probably needs no introduction. She acts like the famous mother who has a similar name, who's now dead, from Calcutta, except instead of saying, you know, you have to submit to church policy to get your scraps of charitable food while you're starving, you must forego birth control and you must blah, blah, blah. Mother Teresa makes you take spanking and whipping for your dinner and then more submission. I think one of her favorites is the crawl across the room on the floor and start kissing her boots and then work your way north, which by all accounts is a dramatic improvement over the other mother. And she gets rave reviews from submissives nationwide, including a few who are actually kind of closeted enthusiasts, so we can't name them, but they're part of the 700 Club and the C Street cult in Washington, D.C., and of course, Senator David Vitter's recent re-election campaign. So Mother Teresa is also going to be a participant, and for now, we have two spankees, and they're going to be joining us momentarily. This woman needs no introduction. She is batshit crazy. There's no other way to put it. And there's a kind of a bizarre irony that somebody this whacked and her husband, equally whacked, run a so-called Christian mental health clinic. You try saying that without laughing. Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptus make a face if I laugh while speaking into these phallic microphones. But, yes, they run Christian mental health clinics. And, of course, she's the queen of the teabag psychos and comes up with a new insane pronouncement, you know, at least once a month. You know, whether it's space aliens or the socialists or the evils of healthcare, even though all of these assholes who talk like that receive, yes, government-subsidized healthcare. So, the first ass to get rosy red here tonight on the Happy Spanksgiving show will be none other than Michelle Schlockman. And we cannot resist providing the spanking deserved by the orange man himself, the worst publicly exhibited fake tan of any publicly known person, the new psycho head of the Republican House of Representatives here in the U.S., and head of the T-Psycho wing of the Republican Party, which is pretty much now the entirety of the Republican Party, John Boehner. Yes, the same Boehner who dissed Paul McCartney. The same Boehner who is viciously attacking, along with his peers, viciously attacking extensions to unemployment benefits, and of course attacking all survival programs, Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, anything that doesn't benefit the richest people of the nation. And his ass is going to go from orange to bright red. All right. Why don't you bring in Father Lollipop and Mother Teresa? And holy shit. She is not in the Calcutta mother uniform to say the least. Look at what she's wearing. Okay, this is a kind of a... I wish this was like internet TV or video or something. And we have to do the animation thing and really get that going. So at least there's a visual. Mother Teresa, you look smoking. You look spanking in that outfit. This is a traditional outfit for doms. It's, I guess it's like leathery. I think the star of the Rocky Horror Picture Show had an ensemble like this. No, he didn't, says John the Craftist. You guys need to start talking into microphones. All right, it's not the Rocky Horror outfit. It's the Gene Simmons outfit. Okay. It's the Gene Simmons outfit when he had, like, all the, like, straps, you know, going in each direction from, like, the center ring in the middle of the torso. Very motherly looking you are. Father Lollipop here in his collar. Hello, welcome. If you speak, please speak into a microphone. not like those two stoner heads who yell across the room and nobody can hear it but me. And this is radio, so people need to hear what you say, what you do, who you spank, etc. Start with you. Father Lollipop, congratulations yet again, even though it's been a long time, for graduating the Rehab for Pedophile Priests program. And actually tuning in to two of those shows and embracing, if you will, adult sexuality and adult erotica and leaving behind the monstrous history that is actually manufactured by the insane, self-denying, madness-inducing sicko policies of the Church of Pedophilia. The Catholic Church. Welcome. Are you still on track? Are you still with the program?
Yes, I am, Father. I mean, Reverend. I'm Father. Yes, I am, Reverend. And it's been a whole new world for me. And I just love going to sex workers and tipping dancers, and then the occasional club scene where they think I'm not really a father, and resultant encounter. And I haven't done any spanking or real kink, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm honored, of course, to be here with Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa, welcome back. Sorry I'm so sick and voice so fucked up. But welcome, and you look fantastic and very dominatrix, Mother Teresa, like, you know, ready to say, starve, motherfucker, unless you submit to me, etc. And keep cranking out them babies.
Well, thank you, Reverend. I haven't really done this sort of thing too much, but when I spanked a couple of priests who were almost finished with your rehab program, and whipped one of them, and rather severely, I found that it gave me a whole new world of fulfillment. And I thought, this is so much more precious than my old practices of meaningless babbling and totally ineffective gestures like prayer. And it felt so real. It felt like such a beautiful connection. And also, it helped me to get the yayas out. you know, all the aggression and stress and frustration that accumulates through the years. And I have to tell you, Reverend, because I know about your life as a mild-mannered social worker, when you're not doing the show, you will understand this, but the therapeutic value of my practices, even though they just started, have just been world-rattling, world-shaking, and it has been illuminating my world to do this, and I just cannot wait. And considering who the guests are, I really want to have a good time on their asses.
All right, well, thank you. Now, as I understand it, wake up, you guys. You know, I'm all for pot. But these guys present a case of being moderate, especially on the day of a show. But, you know, then they think, like, I sound too guidance counselor-ish if I talk moderation or being somewhat functional on the night of a show. But if you guys are capable of moving, could you bring in, let's see, we have two guests that have shown up so far, right? All right, Michelle Schlockman and John Boner. Bring in Michelle, please. Okay, Michelle, the tea queen. Yeah, the queen pin of the tea psychos. And member of the United States Congress. Can you fucking believe it? All right. Michelle, welcome. Yeah, okay, very good. You are submitting to the clinical treatment plan very well. She has already lowered those, whatever they are. They sweats, like kind of gym sweats kind of a thing. All right. There's, God, there isn't much of an ass there. Well, I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm just saying, you know, from a logistical viewpoint, you know, it might be more prone to pain, you know, because there's less tissue. I don't know. A Dom friend explained this stuff to me. All right. Michelle Schlockman, are you ready for your spanking from Mother Teresa and Father Lollipop?
I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, this sounds like fun and all, but I'm a little nervous and I'm not sure I want to...
Quiet! You have been taking public funds for your Christian so-called mental health clinic, haven't you?
Well, yes, but we were entitled...
Shut up! That means you are a socialist by your definition.
Well, yes. That's really fucking hurting me.
And you have been leading the new wave of brown shirts who have been rising in these apathetic times and bringing about fascism on behalf of corporate America.
Well, I never looked at it. I never looked at it that way.
You speak when I ask you a question. Are you going to rethink your ways of being a total brothel worker for the corporate elites and people like Karl Rove and the Koch brothers and Rupert Murdoch?
Well, actually, they're very fine people with a lot of really good ideas. I have to go.
No, let her go. But this has to be consensual. And actually, we don't have safe words. We should have given her a safe word. But Mother Teresa, sure. Wow. That hurt my hand just looking at it. All right, Michelle Schlockman is in the next room, and she's crying, and there is a look of concern on the face of John Boner, and don't tell me he's scared away. Well, he didn't see it, because he was in that room. He may have heard it. I think they heard it in the Delaware River, all across Pennsylvania. All right, get him, please. All right, now ask polite, don't drag him in here. Tempting as it may be. Hello, Boner. How are you? Congratulations on being, the House Majority Speaker of the United States Congress. And don't be afraid. I have a theory that Michelle Schlockman's little ass is why she ran out of here, holding her ass. And but you don't have that problem. So, let's see. This is Mother Teresa. He is Father Lollipop, and he is cured. Not that you care about things like that. You know, you were a friend of Bush's appointee, or whatever he was, Mark Foley, and people like that. But why do you come in here in a suit? Now you're like in all this excess clothing. All right. And why am I telling you what to do when we have a dominatrix? All right. Mother Teresa also has the same fucked up throat thing that I do. All right, Mother, he's all yours.
Remove that jacket.
Oh, how gross.
And the pants.
His whole fucking body is orange.
He tanned his ass.
Oh, let me at him. So, Boner. You're the guy who said to the world media that Paul McCartney needed to apologize to George W. Numbnuts Bush for what he said at the White House about Numbnuts Bush.
Well, yes, I had a lot of concerned constituents. Oh, God.
And you decided that you wanted to shit can unemployment extensions and all survival programs.
Well, it seemed like it was a fiscally sound idea.
Hey, you're right. His ass is turning red. You are actually changing him from orange to red. And his face is red.
All right. So, you are now, it seems, inside a very scandalous video that you don't want leaked to the public.
I don't think I want to talk about that. Yes, I made a scandalous video which shows my orange member. Oh!
Okay. The boner is running out of here. We have a running boner. he is, oh my, well, he's not in tears, but he's looking a lot of freaking out, and he's shaking. He's a shaking boner. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Whoremaster. All right. That was great. That was so much fun to watch. And I want to... If we can't do video, which seems like a longer shot than animation, we really have to get this animation project that we've been talking about forever off the ground so that we can share these special moments with the book burners. If it's on loud enough, Corporate Avenger has been in the background. And speaking of spanking, the Spankers, or actually the Asylum Street Spankers, are on their farewell tour. No more Asylum Street Spankers. And we're going to play a track from them, because you can't do a Spanksgiving show, in my mind, without a track by the Asylum Street Spankers. And even though this is not one of their sexier songs or spanking-related songs, I thought this would be good, and it would be nice to play this for Willie Nelson. This is from the CD Spanker Madness, the Asylum Street Spankers doing High As You Can Be.
smoking all of my tea. When I come home, there's nothing left but stems and seeds for me. Baby, stop your fooling. Hands that over here to me. You just hold on to it, Dad. And you're already high as you can. Now I work hard every day just so you can have your fun. The least that you could do, man, is to say a big song. Baby, stop your fooling. Pass that over here to me. You just hold on to it, Dad. And you're already high as you can be.
Okay, we're going to do a dedication for Heather and Tara, who saved the Reverend's unspanked ass in a very, very emergency situation. And we are figuring out musical commonality and came up with this. So thank you, Heather and Tara, and this is for you. This is Green Day.
America. hung out to idiot America.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am disgusted with the antics and shenanigans that are going on in here. It is absolutely unacceptable to have people who represent clergy in conservative America participating in all of this kink and debauchery. I loathe healthcare, Medicaid people, and even my patients. And now I'm even more appalled that I have to introduce the next song in accordance with the theme of Spanksgiving by Spinal Tap called Big Bottom.
about love. Don't think about bright moon, twinkling stars, red wine, silent whispers, holding hands, secret love letters.
I think about pure sex.
Deep sex.
Hot sex. Rough sex. Good.
Father, yeah, man, burn, burn.
You heard Jello Biafra with No Means No from their collaborative CD, The Sky Is Falling, and I Want My Mommy. Before Jello Biafra with No Means No, you heard the Reverend Bookburn animation theme. Lords of Acid did Rough Sex. Spinal Tap did Big Bottom. Green Day did American Idiot. The Chubbies did Toucha Toucha Touch Me. And started off with the Asylum Street Spankers doing High As You Can Be. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Happy Spanksgiving 2010. And we do have both Spankies here. The other one did show up. So let him be last. Let him get mildly inebriated and relaxed. And bring in the Glenster. Yes. The one and only Glenn Pecker. Okay, where is he? You have to get him. Thank you. I'm so unreasonable with stoner heads. You have to get up and do something. Okay, here he is. Glenn Pecker, welcome to the show. This is Mother Teza. And this is Father Lollipop. Oh, you like Mother Teza. He's crying on her shoulder. I think he just wants to get close. Yes. I think we're both right on that one.
Kind of a clever move on his part.
Okay, Glenn Pecker, I'm going to turn you over to Mother Teza. We'll let Father Lollipop sip this one out since you and the mother have already seem to be connecting, and actually quite literally. Okay. Mother Teza, you know Glenn Pecker, and you've seen him on TV. You've seen him his Klan hate rally in Washington, and of course his misinformative television show.
So, you're the Pecker who led a Klan rally in Washington on the day of Martin Luther King's anniversary. I have a dream speech.
Well, it wasn't meant to be a hate speech or a Klan rally. It was no fear, I was already crying anyway.
So you've been feeding off of the lowest people in the nation's bigotry, fears, and hatreds, and making millions while making this place much more insane.
No, I actually seek to do good with my... Please stop.
That's not your safe word.
What is my safe word?
I don't think you have one. So, you are a pusher of Rupert Murdoch's misinformation and lies with that idiotic chalkboard.
I fact check everything else.
Oh, there he goes. You fell. No, nobody knocked you over. God, we're so sued. Nobody knocked you over. You fell because you were running with your boxers around your ankles. Any idiot, a child knows, pull them up and then run. God. Isn't that right, Father Lollipop?
Right, even in... A knucklehead knows. Okay. Oh, he's saying he's hurt. Oh, Pecker. Right, go cry on Fox. Okay, you fell because you were running with your pants down. Nobody pushed you over.
All right. Who else? All right, and the last guy showed up. Okay, bring him in, guys. Hey, you're getting good at getting up and walking. Okay. With the right determination. Yes, you can. All right.
Here he is, Carl Cove. Master propagandist and Goebbels of the Bush regime. And the head of one of the organizations that spawned upon this apathetic nation, the T-Psychos. Yes, Freedom Works. God, how misnamed can an organization be? Oh, yes, of course. Thank you, John Necropist. Yeah, Freedom for corporate America to fuck the rest of the nation royally and not in the consensual and fun way.
Very good, Father Lollipop, but that has to be consensual. Yes, you have retained your lessons very well. All right, this is Carl Cove. Carl, this is Mother Teresa, and this is Father Lollipop. You are sitting on the lap of Father Lollipop. Are you afraid of Mother Teresa?
Shakes his head. Speak. Don't shake your head, no.
Okay. Oh, I think you're just naturally drawn to Father Lollipop. All right. Father, this one's yours, and it's okay, because he is a fully grown adult. Man, is he grown. Okay. Grown is an understatement.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Carl Cove. I am Father Lollipop, and, I understand that you had a significant role in the crimes of the Bush regime. Is that correct?
There's been no tangible evidence of criminal activity. You hit me.
And you have been the key propagandist in misleading the easily duped and dimwits of this nation, which, face it, is quite a lot of people, and the propaganda that led to the war lies and other actions of former President Bush.
Well, we never actually became propagandists. What we did was we put an interesting spin on all that we were up to.
And now you head an organization called Freedom Works, which leads all of the racists and T-psychos and corporate apologists into frenzies and providing talking points to all of the idiotic trolls that are pretty much fucking everywhere.
Well, Freedom Works has very good goals, I think you would agree.
Mr. Cove, I know you can take it. You have a lot of fat on your ass, and that provides protection against pain, unlike Michelle Schlockman. I learned that from the Reverend's rehab program for priests who were like myself. And I understand that you have not been straightforward and forthcoming about your sexuality, sneaking off to Washington, D.C. area gay bars during the Bush years and acquiring the nickname Miss Piggy.
Oh, no. Miss Piggy
is a guy who looks like me, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh. Here he goes.
All right. Yeah, he's whiny like Rush when he got spanked on the show. All right. Carl Cove is gone. Spanked by Father Lollipop. Crying.
Boy, is he going to have a field day at Freedom Works. Well, he's going to unleash even more hate and more misinformation, and from president bashing to, we have to kill Social Security and unemployment to sustain tax cuts for the rich and
to balance the budget and reduce the deficit. And blah, blah, blah. Carl Cove spanked. Glenn Pecker spanked. Ugh. Oh, your hand is red. All right. And you were the one with a Carl Rove, a Carl Cove, a Father Lollipop. All right. I advise you to wash your hands. And although we're going to play your song coming up, Jello Biafra with No Means No in the background, if it's on loud enough. We're going to play a song for Father Lollipop entitled Lollipop by Trash. But first, we want to play another song by Trash in keeping with the Happy Spanksgiving theme. This is entitled Big Booty Judy.
Hey, this is Deborah
and Keith
from the band Davey, and you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Stick.
It's my lollipop, baby. Go have yourself a lick. Too, so don't make it turn blue. I got something for you that you're sure to like. Cause you look like the kind of girl that just might enjoy a little sugar every now and then. So get down and start sucking on your candy, man. You know what to do, it's just a waiting for you. Flavors, so save some for later.
None of the Bush administration is not sexy people. None of them. Not even Laura Bush. Well, I think Laura Bush is pretty, but you know her pussy tastes like Lysol. Do you see why I was disinvited to the Democratic National Convention? Because I'm dangerous. I speak the truth. I know there are a lot of mans in here who have no idea what pussy tastes like. Girl, never had, never will. Okay. Girl, I'm allergic. If I even have a little itty bitty tiny itty bitty piece of pussy, my throat will swell up. Oh, girl, I could die. See, I got my bracelet. I don't want to give the impression that pussy has a pine aftertaste. It's better than Barbara Bush. That's just straight up mothballs. That's a mouthful of Bengay. That's what that is. My whole face is numb. I'm probably gonna get shot. go enjoy it while you can. I'm just so angry and frustrated at Americans because so many people turned out to vote for George Bush just so they could be sure gay people would not get married. That they hated the idea of gay marriage so much, they would rather have Bush for president than anything else. I mean, it's just insane to me. And it's the Christian groups, you know, these Christian family groups who are out of control. They have really, these Christian groups, they have lost their minds. Even Satanists are saying, wow, you guys are being really mean. But these Christian groups, they're always up to some kind of bullshit. You know, they're either trying to sneak Terry Schiavo a Happy Meal. Are going off about SpongeBob is gay. SpongeBob is a sponge.
Oh, see the Cranston City Center. He sits on top of Laurel Hill.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I'm very happy to see that my book is convincing the gullible and hopelessly naive that our war was justified and not based on lies, and that people in this good nation will believe any crock of shit that is fed to them. And I'm happy tonight to see my old friend Carl get his spanking by the good father, and because I know he appreciates it. And so I wish a happy Spanksgiving to all of you book burners out there. Good night, Americans, and God bless you.
Let's go. Hi, y'all. This is Dr. Laura Horn, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting tea bagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have no runner-ups. This just blew away everything else, including all of the usual asshole and runner-up suspects. Sunday, November 28th, 2010, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio for All, RadioNumeral4All.net. Tonight, our asshole is not an individual, but a group of people who are anything but individuals. Tonight, Asshole of the Week goes out to the Texas Border Patrol. The Texas Border Patrol, many miles from the border, the big bad Texas Border Patrol, cruising along safely far inside the mainland in the People's Republic of Secessionists, nutjob run Texas, pulled over the tour bus of Willie Nelson and band, allegedly finding 6 ounces of marijuana and allegedly finding psychedelic mushrooms and busting, I think, at least 3 people, including Willie Nelson himself. And the problem with this bust, like every other bust for a nonviolent, victimless crime, whether it's sex workers or the war on weed or any other stupid, insane waste of personnel and tax money. Where's the fart sounds? We need the fart sounds for Asshole of the Week. Thank you. First Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
you do one of those, man?
The problem with wasting time and resources, and of course tax dollars, on such pathetic, victimless crimes is that, in addition to the huge injustice of it, it is also neglecting real crime. So to the people of Texas, if you were affected by crime that night, any kind of abuse, any kind of robbery, any kind of violence, rape, robbery, anything, we are sorry that you have such pathetic loser assholes for law enforcement people in Texas, and specifically in the Texas Border Patrol, who are obviously just as fucked up as your governor and the other assholes that run your state. Texas Border Patrol busters of Willie Nelson and crew, you are assholes of the week. Now we can end the fart sounds. Thank you. You heard the birthday girl, Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com, doing Dr. Laura Hoare, the 2009 version. The Sheckies did K, We Love You, and I Need Xanax. The Slot Cars did Surf Punk USA and Pillowhead. Slim Cessna's Auto Club did Cranston. The Zeros did Wimp. Margaret Cho did Laura and Barbara Bush from her comedy CD, Assassin. From the band Davey, you heard the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is In promo, and started off with two tracks by Trash, Big Booty Judy and Lollipop, which was, of course, dedicated to Father Lollipop. And they have departed. We had to bid adieu to Father Lollipop and Mother Teza, so they decided not to play Airport Pat Down with us. And that's a shame, because I was looking forward to that. But they are free to leave. And we're not like the TSA. It has to be consensual airport play, and with people who want it. And granted, Pastor Whoremaster is thinking about booking a flight just so he can go through that. But it has to be consensual, and not like these idiot thugs in the TSA. Okay, Pastor Cedric Miller's penis did not make it here tonight. And so I guess that kind of wraps it up. And we're not doing life lessons from the MySpace screw-ups, besides their kind of self-evident. You know, if you fuck up really, really, really big, correct it. Like, that whole new design system should have been corrected in like 2 days, you know, instead of we're available to answer your questions. But anyway, that's not worth making a big thing about it. So happy birthday again to the late Abby Hoffman. Happy birthday to the very much alive Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com. Thank you to our guests, Father Lollipop and Mother Teza. And yes, we'll even thank the Spankies. Thank you to Michelle Schlockman and John Boner for being spanked on the show. Thank you to Glenn Pecker and Carl Cove, alias Miss Piggy, who also received spankings. Thank you to Pastor Rex Cat, who archives these shows and will probably archive this one if all went well at Radio For All, radio4all.net, and anywhere between a half a week and a week. And there's links on the main site, reverendbookburn.com, to the archived shows for those who missed it live or want to turn others onto it or want to just simply hear it again. Write to me, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Always check out the updated and full of goodies, reverendbookburn.com. On the YouTube channel is youtube.com/revbookburn. myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On Facebook, The Rev is the first name because those knuckleheads do not allow Rev or Reverend to be a first name. So it's The Rev and then last name Bookburn. And on the info tab at The Rev Bookburn's Facebook site, the info tab leads to a link at the bottom for the Reverend Bookburn fan site at Facebook. The next show is next Sunday night, December 5th, with the theme Free Willie Nelson. On December 19th, the Reverend's annual Holiday Tree and Balls Special, 2010. January 9th, the New Year's show, and our 10th anniversary could possibly be more than one show since we constantly add to it and it's already becoming larger than life and we have to figure out how to take the madness even further. But for now, either the night or the first night of celebrating our 10th anniversary will be January 23rd. Big thanks to Pastor Rex Cat, Mr. Z, to everyone who sends great links and ideas and videos and whatnot to the Reverend. Thank you to our in-house stoner heads, Pastor Hoymaster and John the Craptist, who did, I was too hard on them, I agree. And they did great tonight, and they were fully functional and managed to walk out of the room and bring in each guest as he or she arrived. We're going to play a closing tune and get out of here, and you're in for a real treat, even though it's long. But tonight, our closing track is by Funkadelic, and it's the title song from Electric Spanking of War Babies. Good night.
Probably gonna remember me. Oh, I'm gonna remember you. Yeah. Speaking of which, has anybody here ever actually looked into how easy it is to get on the ballot and run for public office? If you want to really fuck things up in a way that's going to get some attention from the people who most need the pitchfork in their butts, run for office sometime. I did. And I come from Boulder, Colorado originally, and there people have a long history of running for office on a whim or as a prank or something. You'd open up a newspaper for a city council election one year and see all those glossy airbrushed photos of all these smiling people wanting to rip you off, and then in the middle of it, a guy named John Davenport with a pirate hat, an eye patch, and his teeth blacked out. Saying that he was going to ban cars from Boulder, and I can't remember most of his other platform because he had some novel solutions to the police problem and things like that. So later on, moved out to San Francisco, got a band going, and in our early days, me and the drummer, first drummer for Dead Kennedys, were riding to a Peer Ubu concert. I was folded up in the back of his Volkswagen Bug, and he was saying, "Yeah, Biafra, you got such a big mouth, you should run for president." No, no, run for mayor. Mayor election was coming up, so I thought, aha, I think I will. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt, oh, God, this is going to be one of the best pranks I've ever done. I mean, we should never give up our love for pranks. Creative crime is not only good for the soul in this day and age, it's necessary. Anyway, by the time I got to the club, I was all full of the idea, yeah, yeah, guess what, everybody, I'm running for mayor. So what? What are you going to do? Oh, good question. So then while Peer Ubu played, I wrote out my platform on a napkin with felt pen, so it kind of dripped into this, like, Slayer album cover drippy writing or something. And we were on our way. Next day, we had to go down to City Hall, and, hi, I want to run for mayor. What should I do? I think what you do is you file, I'm trying to remember back this far now, you file a declaration of candidacy and take out petitions. And if you get so many names of registered voters on the petition, then you're in. Or, in the case of San Francisco, you can simply pay the difference and buy your way onto the ballot, too. A filing fee. Not only that, in San Francisco, you can be mayor at age 18, but you have to wait till you're 26 to get a license to drive a cab. So we got some petitions out, and we figured we were going to have to register everybody to get all our friends legal to vote so they could sign the petitions, because we didn't know whether anybody else would. So we took a crate of voter registration cards, went around town signing up people to vote, and no, really, this is going to be fun. Do it. And we threw a benefit to raise money to make up the discrepancy in the filing fee. And then went back to City Hall on the last possible day of the deadline to turn the petitions in. It was a madhouse there, people running in, giving petitions to people standing in line. One of the workers for one of the main candidates, Quentin Kopp, elbowed past everyone trying to get in front. After all, he was a serious candidate. Ho, ho, ho. I was, meanwhile, kneeling down in the middle of the floor trying to write out my platform and cut words out so it would fit in the voter registration pamphlet. We turned in the petitions, got all the cash out of our pockets, crossed our fingers, and sure enough, we were in. And what it means to be a legal candidate rather than a write-in candidate is you're entitled to equal time. Under the equal time laws that were passed after Watergate and Reagan and Bush have been trying to get rid of ever since. Equal time laws means if the two big candidates or one of the big candidates gets on a TV show to tell you how great they are, they have to invite everybody on. And if the fur coats up at Grace Cathedral in Nob Hill are having a highbrow candidates meeting where everybody gives their spiel and all the fat cats decide who to support and whatnot, they have to invite all the candidates and let all their friends in, too. I got newspaper coverage, I got on TV, they had to let me on the radio. you know, let me on mass mailing lists, and I even got in the voter information pamphlet that goes out to every single registered voter, where you could look up candidates for mayor, and one would send in, the typical one would be something like this, Diane Feinstein. My occupation is mayor of the city and county of San Francisco. My qualifications for office are experience, native San Franciscan, more than 10 years public service. Leadership, committed to working closely with all San Franciscans. Very committed, as it turned out, after all the police spying scandals came out later. Building unity and providing equitable services vital to all neighborhoods. She tripled the bus fares. Continue firm control over spending on essential services. Essential services, no, but she left the biggest budget deficit in the city's history. You know, better management of downtown growth, strong economy, the usual Feinstein bullshit. All the people who got this also got to read this. My occupation is vocalist for Dead Kennedys punk rock group. My qualifications for office are, I don't want to see San Francisco's spirit muzzled in the name of law and order and tourist dollars. I will ban automobiles from the city limits. Thank you, John Davenport. And legalize squatting in all buildings left vacant for tax write-off reasons. Something the owner of the San Francisco Giants is notorious for. Do you know who State Senator Quentin Kopp is? Her main opponent, the 6'4" guy who looks like Charles Nelson Reilly on speed and flaps his arms when he talks. And, so you're the man. Hi. Oh, God. I mean, have you ever seen a picture of him? He really is what he looks like. Let's put it that way. Anyway, they were both talking about how they were going to bring government out from behind closed doors. I thought, great, I will too. We will auction off all high city positions like police chief and utilities commissions and stuff in the Civic Center Square instead of behind closed doors and smoke-filled rooms, and create a legal board of bribery to set fair and standard rates for liquor licenses, building code exemptions, police protection, and protection from the police. Another big one on Feinstein's list was cleaning up Market Street, the main downtown thoroughfare. One end of Market Street is a badass neighborhood called the Tenderloin, and the other end of Market Street is an even more badass neighborhood containing the headquarters of Bechtel, Bank of America, office buildings owned by many oil companies, and savings and loan associations. So I said, yeah, we need to clean up this part of Market Street. Require all businessmen downtown to wear clown suits between the hours of 9 and 5. For some reason, to this day, whenever anybody writes up my mayor campaign, even like they did then, that was the only part of my platform they ever mentioned. I mean, some of the others I thought were a little more practical. I really thought these were practical, like the squatting in unoccupied buildings. Police officers required to run for election every 4 years, voted on by the people they patrol. And Feinstein, who had been mayor less than a year. Why? The earlier mayor, a reform mayor who tried to reform one of America's most corrupt police departments, the SFPD, was shot to death by an ex-cop in his office at City Hall. Dan White, American hero. Yes, you've heard of him then. You know about this? George Moscone, Mayor Moscone, Dan White. You know, the guy who looked like Steve McGarrett, and he was a cop, he was an ex-fireman, he was a compulsive gambler with a taste for expensive sports cars. Anyway, he was on the Board of Supervisors and then, you know, getting elected on a Rid San Francisco of Deviance platform. And just his luck, one of the other people elected the same year was the guy who instantly was put in prominence as one of the leading gay politicians in the world, Harvey Milk. Great movie about him out. They've got a video store, His Life and Times of Harvey Milk. You should check it out sometime. quite later resigned from the board of supervisors because the money wasn't good enough. He was losing money running his French fry stand, ironically called the Hot Potato. The Police Officers Association and other right-wing hate groups that had pushed his candidacy cornered him and said, "You let us down, you wimped out, you don't want to be a wimp, Danny. Go get your job back. Make the mayor give you your job back." White asked for his job back. Moscone refused. Did Dan White take it like a man? No, he took it like a cop. He got out his revolver. And snuck into the one window he, for some strange reason, knew would be unlocked in City Hall so he wouldn't have to get caught in a metal detector with a gun, went up to Moscone's office and pumped bullets into him after Moscone offered him a drink. Then he walked on down the hall and cornered Harvey Milk in his office and pumped more slugs into him, saying later, "He laughed at me." So, here was a guy who assassinated two city officials. Can you imagine what would have happened if that had been a Republican official or something that got assassinated? Well, the police officers celebrated. They were whistling the Notre Dame fight song on their police radios. They printed up Free Dan White t-shirts to wear under their uniforms, brought him gourmet meals to jail so he wouldn't have to eat with the other prisoners and things like that. Some reports were that they were even taking him out to dinner in restaurants that would cover for him. Anyway, White came to trial later that spring, and he got off. He got off after killing Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk with 3 to 5 years for manslaughter, claiming that he'd been eating too many Twinkies at the time, and that that made him temporarily insane. And the jury believed this. I'm sure it didn't help that the prosecutors threw the case out of fear of what would happen from the Police Officers Association if they didn't throw the case. But anyway, that's how San Francisco works. So also in my platform, I propose to ease tension in our fair city by erecting statues of Dan White all over town and letting the Parks Department sell eggs and rocks and tomatoes to throw at them. And because Proposition 13 had just passed and San Francisco suddenly lost a lot of its state funding because people are too greedy to help pay for schools and things anymore, I offered to hire back all 7,000 laid-off city employees to panhandle for the city of San Francisco on a 50% commission, concentrating in the entrances to spiffy department stores and rich neighborhoods like Pacific Heights, home of Dianne Feinstein. What she was mainly saying it for was to justify the police brutality rate that skyrocketed almost to the day after she took office. She was White's best friend on the Board of Supervisors, too, by the way. So, Dennis Perrone, a pro-drug legalization activist of many years, came out with his brochure in his supervisor campaign, "Is San Francisco Becoming Kook City?" Yes, and we are the kooks. Vote for Dennis Perrone. Also running for mayor was Tibor Uskert. Have you ever seen Victor Buono play King Tut on the old Batman reruns? The perfect person to play Tibor. Tibor would come out wrapping his ample middle in a swimming pool-colored leisure suit. "I am Tibor Uskert. U for unique, S for stimulating, K for knowledgeable, E for experienced, R for resourceful, T for tough. You have Polish Pope, why not Polish Mayor?" But I think my favorite one of all, although she was, ironically, she was friendlier than Feinstein, who was about the most evil person I've ever come face to face to in my life. Feinstein and Cop were not amused. But gradually, even the straight press, the Chronicle and Examiner, began paying more and more attention to my candidacy, when it looked like I was going to be the magnet for everybody who wanted to cast a protest vote against what idiots Feinstein and Kopp were. Quentin Kopp was even further to the right of Dianne Feinstein, kind of a major election, a showdown in a way, between the puppet of downtown business interests, Feinstein, and the puppet of the outlying real estate interests, Quentin Kopp, to have a battle royale over which direction the city should go. And there were other interesting people running as well. Got to meet some very interesting people. Another one of Feinstein's phrases was she doesn't want San Francisco to turn into Kook City. When we were on an all-candidates radio show and I showed up wearing a Quentin Kopp the Kosher Cowboy t-shirt I'd found in a thrift store.
Oh, how shall I see? That was from one of my old supervisor campaigns. Probably have a couple of them myself somewhere.
Feinstein then blows in, surrounded by black-suited bodyguards, dressed entirely in black, looking Dragon Lady to a T, and even to people who she'd known for many years, is, so nice to see you. Things like that. But anyway, one of the other candidates was, this one was my favorite, vote to stop drugs on November 6th. Vote anti-liberal. Vote Patricia Dolbear. Patricia had a greasy, seldom-washed Marilyn Quayle do, and this permanent, miserable frown etched into her face. And she was running because Dianne Feinstein is a drug pusher. Dianne Feinstein is a drug pusher, collaborating with the communist Chinese to push drugs on our children. Sodomy and pederasty will no longer be tolerated as positive political principles in this city. The same dope incorporated forces that are tuning this city into the new market for drugs will not be allowed to turn this city into a new Sodom. And guess who she had to sit next to on the TV shows? We did some other stunts, too, when Dianne Feinstein huffed and puffed about cleaning up downtown and cleaning up San Francisco at the end of a nightstick. We called up the TV networks, and I vacuumed leaves in front of her house, and they showed up very interested and attentive, shooting me vacuuming Feinstein's leaves. And I did a whistle-stop tour on BART trains, the little subway system we have there. And people would show up with signs like, if he doesn't win, I'll kill myself. Or my favorite, somebody showed up with one saying, what if he wins? And Feinstein was expecting to coast to a quick, easy victory. But that night, on election night, she got a bit of a surprise. She was forced into a runoff with Quentin Kopp, based partly on a third candidate, David Scott, who was a landlord who said, hi, I'm gay, remember Harvey Milk, vote for me. A few people did. But I came in fourth out of 10 people, 3.5% of the vote. Almost 6,600 people voted for me, and there are only maybe 100 or 200 people who'd call themselves punks at that time in 1979. Where did they come from? Still get people like a walk up and find a postal clerk. Oh, I voted for you. Feinstein's people were not amused at all when the reporters were grilling her campaign manager. Why didn't she get your big win, Dianne? Now you got to go battle with Quentin some more. And finally the guy said, if people like Jello Biafra get 2 or 3% of the vote, what can we do? So I sort of felt like I'd had a little bit of a moral victory. And then later on, a supervisor named Carol Ruth Silver, on behalf of some other people, called me up saying, yeah, we're having a committee to try and make our own platform, and if Feinstein or Kopp endorse it, then we all endorse them and deliver them the balance of the vote in the election. So I thought, should I trust this? Oh, what the hell. Okay, well, you have to incorporate my platform, too. And one of them, I think the most practical one there that I think you people could support is legalizing squatting in buildings left vacant for tax write-offs. Oh, okay. If a building's vacant, then it's a write-off. How's that? And this person had been elected as a reform candidate a few years before. And that really brought it home to me, you know, why people like Dukakis or Moondale or whoever, by the time they wind up in a position of any real power, they have no idea what they believe anymore, because so many people had come up to them wanting to make little deals and get a little piece of them over the years. which is one of the reasons I haven't run again. I also feel that maybe using my art as a political weapon is a little more potent and gets through to more people, and it's a little more fun than, hi, buy my snake oil, vote for me, and then having to look in the mirror every night after something like that. But maybe I'll run again someday. Who knows? There's a problem, though. I've been banned from running again. Yes, one of the supervisors a few years later rammed through a resolution banning anybody from running for office in San Francisco under anything except their Christian name, saying, quote, "We're tired of people like Jello Biafra and Sister Boom Boom using funny names to humiliate candidates who spend tens of thousands of dollars on their campaign." I thought, wait a minute, that's the whole idea. We spent, what, $1,100? And especially ironic, we talked about people using funny names, and his name was Quentin Kopp. One positive thing that happened to me through it was, up till then, I was this obsessed kid who was thinking, oh God, Dead Kennedys has to be the greatest band ever. Oh God, we're so bad. My lyrics aren't as good as Iggy Pop or Jim Morrison, and I'm not as good a performer. And oh. But after that, it was like, well, I've done something no musical personality ever did before, so maybe I should just quit worrying about that and just write my own stuff and go on. So in a way, after that, I was a free man.